The programme which follows is brought to you by Resonance 104.4 FM.
You're listening to Very Loose Women.
So that was Mama by the Spice Girls, obviously a 90s classic. And welcome, I should say, to Very Loose Women on Resonance 104.4. Oh, I can't say any of that. Can I do want to say that?
Welcome to Very Loose Women on Resonance 104.4 FM.
That's what I was trying to say. Yeah, we're live in the studio, as you could probably tell.
never. Absolutely never.
I chose to start off with the song Mama because that song actually tricked me into telling my mom that I loved her because I was singing along with it. And she was like, oh, you finally said it.
What do you mean, finally?
I don't tell my mum I love her. I find it really cringe.
You find it cringe?
I find it really cringe. I don't like telling people that I love them, especially not parents. I would never say it to my parents.
Yeah, actually, come to think of it, you've never told me that you love me. Just like how you never told me that you thought I was stylish until we did the revealing 36 questions to fall in love.
This is like coming back to haunt me, but I don't know why, because I gave you a compliment, but I don't know. Anyway. So we're going to start off where we left last week. So last week we had both our mums being interviewed talking about their relationship with their mothers. So we thought we'd talk to each other about our relationship with our mothers, which I think is maybe a bit confusing. Before we get started, have you got any gripes of the week, Catherine?
Yeah, I've got quite a few gripes. I mean, I've noticed that my gripes, I'm really upping the ante on them, actually, recently. Normally I only have kind of one, maybe two, but in the last few weeks I seem to be racking out like three or four. But anyway, my main gripe is how when norovirus like enters your office or your home, it just never goes away. So like, I just think that I've been on the receiving end of like a bug that's just kind of worked its way around my office, my family, and yeah. Now
maybe
also
you
resonance.
Are the node. You're the common factor in all those things, Catherine. So you're passing
it
on to
everyone. Yeah, I know. I'm concerned about that. But yeah, basically, you know, I've never been living with a partner before, being ill to that extent. And, you know, when it's Valentine's Day and you've got two people with norovirus in the house, like, that's not wonderful, is it? So, that's kind of been a bit annoying. And the other thing as well is that norovirus also caused an argument between me and my mother. So this is slightly on theme.
Oh, great, on topic.
Because my first symptom of norovirus, which happened a few weeks ago, was when I went home to my parents and my mum made a really amazing shepherd's pie. It was like absolutely delicious and I ate it. And then inexplicably, like 2 hours later, I just vomited the whole thing up and accused her of giving me food poisoning and couldn't sleep.
That's very ungracious of you, Catherine.
I know. But it was like the only kind of like answer I could think of. Like as soon as I ate it, I felt ill. So obviously I took issue with the shepherd's pie and thought it was the pie's fault and therefore her fault. And now looking back and seeing the effect that norovirus has had, it definitely wasn't her fault. So I feel bad about that, Mum.
Have you gone back to your mother and said, like, I realised that I was in the wrong and that pie was perfect?
Yeah, and she was very concerned that I might not be able to eat the pie in future. And I've lied and said that it's not put me off the pie, but now even just thinking about it, I feel ill.
But now she's heard you say it live on radio.
She's not listening.
Let's hope not for the other stuff we're going to say tonight. My gripe of the week, I don't know. I tried to move house. No, we are moving house at the moment. And that's quite stressful, as you can imagine. There's like 9 of us, 10 of us. I'm not sure. I live with a lot of people. Trying to get all our stuff in a van. It was horrible. But what made it even worse was there was a man standing in our house the whole time who was like giving us advice, just shouting at us basically. And he went to the toilet. Which is fine. Obviously, he was welcome to use the facilities in our home. That's okay. But he didn't close the door and he was weeing. And I didn't see anything, but I kind of walked past. And he said, oh, sorry, I didn't realize you were coming. And I said, it's fine. You know, like, I didn't see anything. And then he came up to me with really wet hands, really close to my face. And he was like, I've only got a little one anyway. That was just so unpleasant. And that was like the theme of his presence in our house, I think. Like that kind of level of mild discomfort for everyone around.
Yeah, so wet hands after using the toilet, even if it's just clean water, that's not okay. I think that's, you know, I think that's quite rude. Like dripping the dripping leaving.
I didn't realize that was
potentially touching you, having a wet handprint. I'm not happy with that.
I think that's okay. I always make sure after I've been to the toilet, if I have to shake someone's hand and my hand is wet, I always say, like, I've been to the toilet, but it's wet with cleanliness. I use that phrase, and that goes down quite well. People smirk. It's nice. So, of course, we've done our gripes. Do you have any gripes, Chris? I probably should have briefed you that you might have to give us a gripe.
Yeah, no, I'm fine on gripes this week. Thanks.
Okay, great. No gripes.
You've
perfect.
Done enough.
We've
done.
Okay. Yeah, of course, last weekend was Valentine's Day. And I wondered if we could remember any particularly scarring incidents of Valentine's Day of yesteryear. So, Catherine, have you got any scarring yesteryear Valentine's Days?
Well, the only thing that kind of I feel a bit depressed about is that I've never actually had a card from a secret admirer, which either means I have no secret admirers and never have done, or they're just incredibly elusive and they're too secret to
Which one
confess.
Do you think is more likely?
Well, I'm not sure which one's more likely, but I think it's a bit sad to think that you'd never know if someone kind of found you attractive or liked you a bit. So yeah, I've never had like a kind of surprise card or love letter on Valentine's
Have you ever sent one? I sent a Valentine's once, I've just remembered, when I was at primary school.
No, I've never sent a Valentine's. So maybe it's a karma thing. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think that's probably true.
I mean, I've received a Valentine's cookie, which I got when I was at school. So someone did give me that in public and in open, so that was quite nice. That was a good gesture. But yeah, never had anything. And also, I'd never been out for Valentine's Day and done something deliberately romantic until this year when we had norovirus and we braved going out for dinner, which, looking back at it, was kind of reckless and foolhardy. Like, I don't know what we're thinking. But we braved through the illness and we did go out and have a romantic meal. And, you know, we had a good time. But I don't know if I want to do it again, because the restaurant literally was just full of couples and we were all very close to each other and it just felt weird.
Were people's like pink balloons bouncing off each other because it was that packed in?
I had the people next to me, the lady's chair was basically almost like a third chair to our two person table. Like, her back was kind of like right near my face. And, you know, it was kind of meant to be romantic. So there was, in the restaurant, there was a woman singing. And yeah, it was very cheesy. I knew what I was getting myself into, but it felt stressful being solely surrounded by couples. It was odd.
Well, in Glasgow, I think it was on Valentine's Day. And if this news didn't happen on Valentine's Day, I don't want to be corrected, because I think it's funnier if it did. But basically, there was a screening of 50 Shades of Grey at this like quite nice cinema in Glasgow. And it ended in a brawl between a man and like a group of women who he told off for being too rowdy, who then glassed him. And also there was like vomiting in the aisles. And he had to clean up all his blood before the next showing of 50 Shades of Grey. I think that's... Imagine if you were there on a date.
I know, shocking. But then, I mean, I can't believe all these people that did pre-book their cinema tickets to go and see 50 Shades of Grey on Valentine's Day. Like, that's just madness.
It's depressing, actually.
It is quite
I'm
depressing.
Depressed.
Yeah.
Do you think it's more depressing to see it on your own or with a lover?
With a lover, I think. I like, on your own, I think, you know, if you've got a guilty pleasure, that's fine. But don't kind of... It's like going to the cinema with your partner to watch, like, Twilight or something. Like, if you're going to do that, then you've just got to do it with female friends. Don't, like, drag your partner into it.
What a rule. What if your partner is female?
Yeah, so also, well, you know.
It takes all sorts to become
yeah, exactly.
a royal captain.
Yeah.
Okay, so, well, actually, my Valentine's Day this year, I went to the cinema, not to see 50 Shades of Grey. I went to see Love is Strange with my mum, which, look, brings us on to talking about mums again, our favourite topic of the last 2 weeks. So we asked our mums, and I hope that I've done this right and, you know, technology doesn't fail us. We asked our mums whether or not we were similar. I'm going to try and play a clip of your mother answering the question of whether she thinks you two are similar.
How do you think I've turned out?
Well, I think you've turned out really well.
Thanks. I don't know what I'd have done if you said something else.
No, you're very thoughtful. You're hardworking. You're able to... you've got some hobbies, like the radio show. So I think you've turned out to be a fully functioning adult. I mean, obviously, there are some things, because you do a lot... Sometimes household tasks need to be organised by your mother.
Yeah.
Being a mother to an adult these days, that you have to be their PA.
Do you think we're similar?
I think where we are similar, and some of your friends have commented on this when they've been to stay, that they kind of think that some of your humour has come from me.
You and Dad are both very funny, though, in quite different ways. Mm. And together, you are quite hilarious. I always forget when I'm away just how much the two of you are just laughing all the time.
Mm.
I think we're both quite, like, hair obsessives. If we've got a bad hair day, the whole day is bad.
Ruined, yes. Yeah, I'm very like that. If my hair's not right, I don't feel right at all.
Because we always went to the hairdresser together when we were little, when I was little. And that's something that we've always done, whereas we both hate having facials because we don't like
Relax.
Yeah. What were you like?
We like shopping together.
Yeah, well, Emma actually did say that she thought I was very stylish, so maybe she thinks that you're stylish too.
Oh, right. Well, I'll assume I am stylish.
So what do you think you were like before you were a mum, and have you changed since you had me?
Well, the thing is, you don't really think you're any different, but I suppose I must have changed.
It has been almost 30 years. It's been 28 years, so, I mean, you must have changed a bit.
A bit, yes. I've got more lines.
At your age, is that just grayer. A blip? I mean, one thing that I do really like about you is that you've always had quite a big, community spirit, and you've dedicated your life to making a difference by being a teacher. And you've always worked in state schools, and you've always, worked deliberately with the kids who need the most help, because you seem to be able to get on with young people very well, and you're not bothered about having the really clever ones who'll make you look good. I don't think you've got that many airs and graces.
No.
Get down to it and don't take any shit from anyone. Is that because you're from Yorkshire?
What, from Rotherham?
Yeah.
Because I like young people.
I guess really what I want to know is, do you think that you and your mum are similar? What do you think?
I think that we're as similar as we could be, given the kind of massive differences in how we've been brought up, our age difference, and I suppose the kind of different just experiences that our families had. Like, I think my mum is just born into a completely different world, which I think she maybe touched on slightly in last week's show, but I think what was expected of her at that time was very much, you get married quite young and you have kids, and it wouldn't have made any difference to most people wouldn't have thought about having to have a career. If she said, oh, I'm not going to have a job, or I'm just going to work for a few years and then have kids, people wouldn't have thought, that's so unusual to not want to have a job. Like, lots of her friends did that. So she made her kind of own path and really decided that she wanted to push her work and things. But the world has changed a lot in that time. So I think the fact that we do have similar interests and things like that is really a credit to the fact that we got on with each other.
Is there anything that, like, you do that you're like, oh my God, that's so much like my mum, like, that's awful?
I think when you're growing up, like, especially when you're a teenager, you kind of find it much easier to find fault in your parents and things that they do. And I think back then I would have found lots of things annoying about both of them. But I suppose with my mum, like, I do see a tendency in her to try and avoid confrontation, because I knew that she found it really difficult with her mum being quite a kind of outspoken person who liked an argument and was very critical. My mum always was like, I don't want to have that kind of household where there's rows and things. So she will just kind of, if someone's being really out of order, she just kind of takes it and goes, okay, I'm going to have some time out. And she doesn't really stand up for herself at home. I don't think she's like that at work or anything, but sometimes I see myself just kind of not really properly challenging people. Like, I always want to be a people pleaser. And I kind of think that the way that she is in the house, maybe I'm taking and being like that more at work and with friends, because I don't think she takes rubbish off people, like, in her life outside. But at home, when me and Dad are like having a tantrum, she's incredibly calm, and I kind of admire it, but also think I'm not sure whether she should be doing that.
Yeah, my mum just kind of opts out when me and my dad are having a row.
It's just like a kind out. Of, I'm just blanking.
It's like, I want you to be on my side and tell him he's wrong, but she just turns away.
So what about you?
I might play the clip of Esther saying our similarities, but what I think is interesting is that, like, with your mum, I think they have a very different outlook on life. Your mum's a bit of an optimist. I'd say my mum's a bit of a pessimist. So your mum was like, we've got all this stuff in common. It's really great. That's not exactly what my mum said, but we can listen and find out if we can.
I don't think we're very similar. You're very bright and intelligent and, yeah, quite independent and have strong views on things. And I think I'm much more sort of dependent and malleable and I mean, do you think that we have any similarities or big differences or whatever?
I think something that I know that people have said about both of us, that we both don't suffer fools gladly. That's exact sentiment that's been expressed about both of us. And also that both of us worry a lot.
Oh, yes, that's true.
And it was funny when my friend Alice said that I worried a lot. And you said, oh, yeah, same as me, it's genetic. Obviously, physically, got the big boob gene.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Sorry about that.
The big boobs. We can get quite frustrated quite easily. But yeah, I think, like, we know when someone's bullshitting us and we don't appreciate it.
You might do. I don't know. I probably still get fooled. But I think I've mellowed with age.
Do you think that you are like your mum?
That's a toughie. I guess, well, she had a much, obviously, harder life than I did and came from a very poor home and so on and lived through a war. She had to, I guess, develop qualities that I didn't need to develop.
I can think of one. Juvenile sense of humour.
Yes, okay. Toilet humour, sort of.
You both love a fart joke.
Yes, that's true, yes.
There you go. Both like to laugh.
Yes, yes. She was a good one for jokes, that's true. She had a sense of humour. She liked to make people laugh. She liked to sing as well, and I liked to sing.
Yeah, so they both like to sing, her and her mother, and we've all got big boobs. That's basically the main qualities that you learn about my family there.
I've got the big boob gene from my mum as well. And also the painful period gene.
That's interesting. I think, oh, yeah, actually, obviously, I also get the famous massive spot before the period that my mum also gets, got, not sure.
I think my mum also, in that sort of clip from her, she did a very typical Jill thing, which was giving the most kind of practical examples of something without having to go too much into like how she feels about things. So like your mum, I feel, was going into more depth about like your actual characteristics and the qualities that make you a person, whereas my mum, as she admitted, I think this was something we played last week, she said that she doesn't really think about herself that much, and she, like, above and beyond, am I tired or not tired and what do I have to do? So she's
and
tired.
How's my hair looking, I guess, is what
yeah,
I'm gonna learn
so
today.
She, yeah, I think how's she does hair? Actually spend a lot of time thinking about her hair. But she, so like similarities for us, it's like, you know, things that we do together, and like she said last week, she thinks that I'm hardworking, conscientious. But in terms of like actual characteristic traits, I think she, I don't know whether she like thinks that much about what makes her the amazing person that she is.
I think, yeah, I also feel like my mom was just looking for some differences there. Well, I think she just wanted to give me like a ream of compliments, and then that was it. I guess she's quite modest, I suppose, and quite like,
and she is very clever.
I know, she's very clever.
Took her to pub with that quiz opener. What she's
talking
about? It's
ridiculous. I took her to pub quiz last week, and she did incredibly well. She knew a lot of things that we didn't know.
And wasn't it her first ever pub quiz as well?
Exactly, on her first ever pub quiz. So she should be very proud of herself. I don't know. But yeah, that's typical Esther, you know.
So how do you think your relationship's progressed?
Since I interviewed her. I think...
since forever.
Since forever. I think that I'm probably... Since she moved to Australia, she'd been very far away. It's probably made it slightly more difficult for me to tell her, like, I've got this issue. Because it's like, when you're phoning someone who's, like, 9 hours ahead of you and probably, like, it's, like, 3 a.m. there, I don't know. It's just... It makes it a bit more inconvenient to be like, oh, I'm a bit worried that, yeah, I was late for work today. Like, I mean, you're not going to call these minor issues. And, you know, actually, when I started uni, my dad, his big advice to me was, if anything good happens to you, call your mother. And if anything bad happens, call me. So
that
he like instilled this like, come to me with all your problems and like anything good, call your mom. Mm. Which I guess the fact is he gets called more. So I don't know, take about what you will. I was going to ask, like, so obviously you've got quite a good relationship with your mom. Mm. Does it make you want to be a mom? Or do you want to be a mom in general? Like, how do you feel?
Yeah, I do. I really liked spending time with her when I was little, and I didn't like being apart from her. Dad said I was really clingy. So this is to the extent that when she went and vacuumed the house, I used to sit on the Hoover, and if she tried to put me in another room, I'd start crying. That's a bit weird. So I think that, yeah, we spent a lot of time together, and then maybe we were a bit less close when I was a bit older, but we've always kind of got on. And the things that we did when I was little, like making butterfly cakes and reading books and going to museums and watching Disney films, and the fact that she seemed to have like limitless patience for doing maybe boring kid stuff or annoying kid stuff, those things I definitely would love to do with my own children.
I think that's funny that you say it's like limitless patience, because I think having kids also gives you a kind of excuse to do all those things that you really want to do, like go and play all the fun toys or whatever, but you've got to pretend like, oh, I'm just doing it because my kid.
And we had this when so I went home, because so my mum in that interview said, you know, that she basically has to be my PA, and I'm still going back to Leicester to go to the dentist, and my mum has to book the appointment, and we go together. We've been doing that since I was a baby. So basically I went home and we went to the dentist, and in the dentist surgery they've just bought this giant dinosaur toy, which is like absolutely huge, and it, when you touch it, it moves and makes sounds, and you can put these fake leaves in its mouth, and there's this woman and her very small child playing
on
it.
What size is it?
It's like, I would say it's almost actual like the size of a kind of like a toy car that a kid would get in, or like a Dodgem car. So it's like a big thing, and a small child can sit on it comfortably. And my mum, she was just so overexcited by it. I was sitting there thinking, that's kind of cool, I kind of want to touch it, but you know, there's a small child and his mum playing, I'm not going to interfere. My mum was like down on like all fours with this kid, like basically kind of pushing him off, and then like pretending that she was going to help him so that she could play with it. And I could see that she's just still so excited by doing that stuff. But actually, you know, the kind of genuinely quite difficult things, I can't imagine my life revolving around this tiny person and having the answers. If they say things like, you know, why is the sky blue? I've lost all that knowledge. Like, I don't have any kind of useful key stage knowledge. You've got to go back and learn it again.
You've got to stay one step ahead of them. You know, they can't read when they're born. So you just do a little bit of reading, like, you know, for a 3-year-old. And then by the time they're three, you're like 6-year-old. You're fine. Was that good math? I'm not really sure. Yeah, but it's also, that just reminded me of once I went to the Museum of Childhood in Edinburgh. Excellent museum. And they have like a lot of toys you can play with. And they have like a rocking horse. And I must have been like, I don't know, let's say 12 or something. And I wanted to, you know, it's interesting to look at Victorian toys or whatever age you are. And I saw this rocking horse and I tried to have a go on it. And it just wasn't really working out very well.
I've been there.
It's really good.
I've been there.
This, like, I don't know, museum, what do you call them? A museum guide or whatever. The person who works there came over.
Curator?
Well, it's a bit fancy. Yeah, well, whatever. Someone who works in the museum came along because I was like, it's not really working. And they were like, I think you're a bit big for it. And I didn't really have the heart to tell them, but like just 5 minutes before, my mom had been having like a whale of a time on that rocking horse, like really going for it. Yeah, I think there was something else as well, I guess, like in my changing relationship with my mom, because she comes to visit me quite a lot, like she'll come to like the UK for a bit. I think I've taken it as like I've become like a bit of a motherly role in my head, where I'm like, I've got to show her all this fun stuff. So I'm like taking her to museums,
you're protecting
being
her,
like, let's go and see
the streets of South London.
True. I'm like, are you sure you know what bus to take? You've got to do this and that. But yeah, also I'm like, oh, we could do this fun thing. And I'm kind of like coming up with all the ideas of fun stuff to do, which maybe is a bit of a role reversal.
Do you want to have kids?
I think working in a primary school, working with kids all day, has pretty much put me off. But, you know, I would say never. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Do you feel pressure to?
No, and actually, I mean, I don't think we have time, but I did ask my mom if she thought I should have children, and she said, you know, gave a really nice response saying, you know, I think you'd be a really great mum for all these reasons. You're really warm, all these kind of nice things. But she was like, but you know, up to you, like if you want to do it or not. Mm. And I think that's nice, because I think a lot of people do feel like, oh, it's really weird if I don't want to have kids, like what's wrong with me? But I feel like I've already got kids because I spend like all day with kids. I mean, I know it's not exactly the same, but
I mean, I feel like the older I get, the less grown up, I feel, because I always assumed that there would just be a milestone of, like, you know, 18, you're just an adult, you feel like an adult. 25, you're even more of an adult. 30, you're totally sorted and you understand how everything works. And I'm going to be 29 next birthday, and I would just totally freak out if I was pregnant. Like, I would just be terrified, because it just, I just feel so young.
But I think everyone's terrified.
Yeah, I know.
I think at any age you're going to be terrified. And I remember, like, when we asked my mom about it, like, how does she feel and stuff, and she said, like, she was like, I was just terrified of giving birth. I thought, yeah, exactly. That's the first big hurdle.
Yeah, and I can't really get over the feeling, like, it just seems so kind of parasitic. Like, you know, I just imagine, like, kind of alien life form. It just, you know, the whole thing just kind of freaks me out. Like, carrying a child in you for that amount of time, I can't really get over the whole kind of weirdness of the pregnancy.
And I think it's a thankless job. You know, you do your best, you do all this nice stuff for your kids, and then, like, they turn into teenagers and they just hate you. They're like, you're so cringe, I hate this, whatever.
That's the,
like,
yeah,
you can't
pessimist.
Do anything. Yeah, that's got a pessimist streak. Coming out. Yeah, exactly. I think we're going to have to wrap it up there. So yeah. Thanks for listening. I'm sure that, Catherine, you could tell us all about our podcast and Twitter.
Yeah, you can find us on iTunes. Just search Verily Swimming. We'd absolutely love it if you enjoy the show, if you would consider rating and reviewing us. We're also on Twitter at VLW Radio. You can find us on Facebook. And obviously you can email us verilyswimming@resonancefm.com if you are so inclined.
But don't send us any misogynistic messages on Facebook, because we didn't like it last time. Thanks.
For full versions of our shows, check out verilyswomen.wordpress.com.
This programme was brought to you by Resonance 104.4 FM. Visit our website at resonancefm.com to hear our vast range of original 24/7 broadcasts. Resonance is a not-for-profit broadcast platform and relies on public support. If you like what you've heard, make a secure donation at resonancefm.com.